Não, por favor.
He's the mouse sort of effect. Yeah. He needs to follow the next funny I want to the I've been trying to get all my clothes out of the freezer because you know I've been saving it for the garden all year. Now it's snowing. Making up for you know, the growing, but you gotta start canning, so
it took her out the release. She's
I just started learning Latin. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And he's Well, my mom and grandma were I never really went learning how to eat. Lacey's Aunt Sarah put it off in West
I know. Go ahead, silence your phones and noisemakers, please.
Yeah, I haven't done any of that. Kelly and Jane.
We'll call the meeting to order at exactly 10:01. Please rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
Thank you. Do roll call Cindy Ballard
here,
Mike DeBoy
here,
Sarah Herbert is absent, Terry Juro
here,
Dan Henson's present, Chief is present. Thank God. Changes to the agenda. Any changes, additions, deletions? Do you need insurance and those info? Okay. We'll start with the financial reports.
Essentially, just instrument insurance.
Okay, that's what
pretty
I
much.
Thank you, sir. You're welcome. May I always see? You have account balances?
Yes, I do. For as of this morning, EMS is $53,420.71, mainly due to all the tax money that are coming in, which are going to be transferred back over to fire account, just Clemens County, actually. In the fire account, we have $3,089.08. And the LGIP account is $2,150.
I'll entertain a motion to accept the treasurer's report as prepared, unless there's any additions or changes.
I'd like to make, I'll make a motion to accept it.
Second.
Second.
All in favor, roll call, Cindy Ballard.
Aye.
Mike.
Aye.
Carrie.
Aye.
And I'll vote aye as well. Chief's report.
So a couple things were brought to my attention over the last month, one of which is the numbers that I spew out every month of may not be as clear to everyone else as I think they are in my head. So I'm going to spell those out a little bit. Right now we have 549 total calls for service. That is 549 times since the 1st of January that somebody has called 911 regarding an incident inside our protected areas, whether that's fire or illness.
And we've responded.
Yes. Okay. I give you that number every month. I don't give you the year to date on all the rest of them. I break it down for the last month, which is literally the last time we all got together to today. Since the last board meeting, 56 911 calls have come. Okay. 39 of those 56, the ambulance was also dispatched. Okay. Of those 39 dispatches, we took 26 transports to the hospital. That is a significant number because we only get paid for transports to the hospital. Okay. We do not get paid for driving out and pronouncing someone deceased. We do not get paid for the CPR in progress calls where we're going to go there and spend $300 in resources trying to bring somebody back. We don't recoup that. We don't get paid when people just change their mind. Okay. We still pay crews for responding to those calls. So that's why that is significant. The 26 billable transports, as I've said before, our average bill, our baseline bill, every single time there's a bill submitted to anyone, it is $2,400 plus $25 a mile. Our average bill, which we did not invent those numbers, those are the exact same numbers that everyone else in this county uses, except District 1. District 1 calls out for ALS 1 and ALS 2. So if they give one drug, they're going to add $1,000. If they give two drugs, they're going to add $2,000. Nobody else in the county does that. We follow everyone else's fee schedule. So that is, on average, between $300 and $3,200 a run. So when I say that there are 26 billable transports since the last time we got together, that's roughly $83,000 in billing that we have sent out, of which we collect somewhere between 20 and 30%, depending on the month and depending on who's paying. Everybody understand those numbers? Everybody? Okay. We have not had any significant fires to speak of, and there's a couple of BS things, but nothing to speak of, really. The best one was a car with no motor and transmission and no tires and wheels that had been used as a dumpster and lit on fire. That's about as exciting as we got for fires.
No kidding.
I had to submit agency ownership. I call it agency ownership paperwork for our seismic upgrade grant. It's basically our official name, where we are, how many people we serve, roughly our size of our district, tax revenue, blah, 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 blah. Along with why do we think we need this essay question for whatever, and some letters of support. That's all been submitted to ZCS. We got some pretty good letters of support. She hasn't hit me back on the questions, and I fully expect that this will go through. ZCS submits it every year forever until we get it. That's part of the benefit, honestly, of the $4,000 application fee that we pay for them. If we don't get it this year, they're going to resubmit it next year, and then the year after that. I'm pretty confident that the billing situation that has plagued a couple other districts that's not the norm. And, it seems that from the time Business Oregon gets the bill submitted from a contractor, because it's a reimbursement, their average turnaround time is 7-14 days of sending a check out in the mail. So any reasonable contractor anywhere is going to have to give us that amount of time. When it comes to this. So I'm not exactly sure what the hang up was at the other agency that is $400,000 down to that, but everything I can tell seems to be that would be an internal problem, not necessarily a glitch in the system that we're trying to tap into. I spoke to Michelle Slay at State Fire Marshal's office, and just to just to reiterate, I want to double check that everything was green lit for this fuels reduction situation we got going on. I'm going to explain that a little bit deeper because I have also fielded multiple phone calls, a couple of which were rather unfriendly, about people who allegedly heard a board member talking about how they don't know why we're going to do this because we don't have the money, we don't know where the money's going to come from. So let's explain that real quick. I don't know. I don't care. I just want to make it clear what we're doing, why we're doing it, and where the money's coming from. Okay. The fiscal year of 2021, there was $6,000 put into the budget for paying the chief. 2022, that number was increased to $12,000 to pay the chief. 2023, that number was increased to $24,000 to pay the chief, an assistant chief, and an EMS chief. That was again approved in the 24-25 budget. And I took over a month and a half later in August, and within a month or two asked the board to use $6,000 of that $24,000 to pay an EMS coordinator. And we paid Don Simpson. He has never once charged us for $500 a month. It's usually a couple hundred for administration for the ambulance. And so he does the quality control for all our charting and things like that. And if that's not done right, we're jammed up with the state and we're not getting paid for our building. So it's important. The other $18,000 I asked the board to move over into a program for crew stipends so that we could pay these guys for showing up at 2 in the morning when Meemaw is stuck between the toilet and the wall or whatever. My intention for that was to kind of cap that at around $1,000 a month throughout the winter, so that $18,000 went a little bit farther in the summertime. So if we spent half of it for 9 months, and then in the summertime, we would have $3,000 to add to our staffing grant, because the staffing grant doesn't quite get us to the end of fire. It did this year. It doesn't quite get us to the end of fire season most years, okay? So that was $24,000 that was appropriated to pay chief officers, which I found to be ridiculous. I don't find paying crew members ridiculous. So when it came to this CWRR grant that was originally $71,000, we spent $32,000 on an IGA with the County Public Works to do this road sign project. We bought a dump trailer for $10,000, a little over $10,000. The state is going to give us 10% of the grant as kind of a gimme administrative costs that we don't have to really account for or pay back of the $30,000 that was misappropriated originally. Leaves us roughly just shy of $22,000 that has to be spent in the spirit of the grant in order to make the state fire marshal happy. Now, I put myself on the line and this agency on the line this spring when I guaranteed to the state fire marshal, the head of the agency, in fact, that this would come to fruition. And that is the only reason that we got our fire staffing grant
this summer.
Okay. I talked to Michelle again and told her my plans were to buy some tools. The tools that we're going to buy are like a leaf blower, a weed eater, a power pole saw, a couple sets of loppers. Even if I bought the most expensive tools on the market, it's only going to be a couple $1,000. The rest of that $20,000, we're looking at roughly 1,000 man hours that it has to be paid out between now and May. So weather permitting, that is in the works. We're all greenlit by the state. That is going to happen. It is in our budget. That is where the money came from. In case there is any confusion as to why we're doing it or where the money actually comes from, that's where the money comes from. If we do not do it, this agency will no longer be eligible for state fire marshal grant funding in the future, which is a death blow to any fire agency in any state. So that's in the works. I have probably half a dozen properties at the moment that we're going to start with. And I'll be making phone calls first of the week to make appointments with folks. And then if it's, you know, kind of crappy weather, we'll still be doing it. If we, if we're just, you know, weathered out, then we won't. But a thousand, trying to come up with 1,000 man hours in Sprague River outside between now and May is
tough.
You know, I mean, it's doable in some years.
They did announce it at the troop service on Sunday looking for.
Yeah, I talked to Bob Sanders too. And so that I got probably half. I got a good start. So okay. Once we get rolling, I figure, I mean, I don't care if I got to go beat on doors, door to door. That's what I'll do. We have to get this done.
Is there a need for perhaps any brush hogging?
I'm sure everybody has needs for brush hogging.
Can it be part of the mitigation?
Not really. Okay. I mean, maybe the state really wants. So in my final report about this part of the grant, I'm going to have to submit a spreadsheet, just like the staffing grant. They don't want to just know we spent X number of dollars on wages. They want to know who collected those wages, how much they got paid an hour, how many hours they worked, in which months. That's, I got to do all that for all the wages part. They also want some before and after photographs of some of the work that we done did. And what they really want is that 10 to 15 feet away from the house. Now, as I've told everybody, that doesn't mean that's the only work that we will do. We will only do work within 10, 15 feet of the house. But the spirit of the grant is not brush hogging the field. It's not thinning your 10 acres of forest land. There's actually ODF grants for that, that everybody, if it's a landowner that have a tree on their property and having more than 3 acres, I think, is eligible for. We are specifically tasked with the protection of structures. So this is about a defendable space around structures. Now, if you want me to come out to your house and say, well, my house is doing okay, but my barn's really screwed up, that's fine. I'll go do that. I don't care. But I need some pictures that are the work done in that like first 10, 15, 20 feet from the house out.
Okay.
Specifically for this. Now, I've said before, I don't think once this is rolling, this is one of the new darling topics that everybody wants to throw money at. So going forward, I don't believe once we have this program in place, it will be harder to find funding to continue it. And at that point, then maybe we expand out from that or whatever. But as far as like getting out from under the state for this round, I really am supposed to be focused on
this is
necessary structures situation.
How about creating fire lines or fire breaks or like in the estates?
Same thing. We may end up doing that. I'm not saying we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
But I have to focus on directly around structures
right.
This particular deal right now. But going forward, like I said, I don't think it'd be hard to find funding to keep something like this going. And then that would be, you know, sky's the limit, really.
Yeah.
This is one of those, like, everybody's favorite thing to. I mean, there's districts in this county right now that are working on $700,000 of money to pay wages for fuels mitigation.
Wow.
Grammar. Like, there's big money in this work. So, anyway, that's where that's at. Here we sit a year later and it's still got broke down fire trucks. Now, last year, we pretty much blew our wad on one fetch truck that just, we're legally contractually obligated to fix the damn things and we need it, but it cost us $16,000. The almost twin to it is the crew cab version. And it is having, last year we spent probably $1,500 getting it serviced and getting the death system working. The other truck, the DEF system had to ultimately be deleted. And we can do that because we're a fire department. Anyway, the other, if they're both 2011 Powerstroke diesels, they both had the same problems. And now the first one is having the same problems as the other one had, and we're going to end up deleting that this fall. I just don't see spending $2,000 a year trying to patch this bullshit along when it's problematic in everybody's truck if we get rid of it. The bigger trucks haven't been serviced. One of them hasn't been serviced since, I think the last, it was like 2009 was the date on the oil filter.
Oh my God.
Now that one doesn't leave very often. It's not really built for Spray River too much, but the other two are first out apparatus and need to be looked at. So initially, it's one thing to drop a couple of these trucks off at the mechanics. It's something else when you got to winterize them to set them outside. And that's not, it's a pain in the ass, to be honest with you. So I was trying to get the guys that work on our stuff to come out and do these two, but it's going to be fairly expensive also. I think there's about $20,000 in the budget for vehicle maintenance. And there are four trucks right now that need issues addressed. It's like real issues, like burning belts and coolant leaks and transmissions that don't want to shift. So I just want to give you guys the heads up that
it's going to be another labor intensive.
It's going to be another one of those. Like it's been this agency spent decades and decades with not any money. Like they didn't have two nickels to rub together. Did the best they could. We are, as I said, at 549 calls. That is 1.7 calls per day since the first of the year. Somebody has to respond to those calls, and those trucks have to be able to roll. So if we were responding to 100 calls a year, meh, whatever, but we're not. It's fairly busy all the time. So
there's a new mechanic that moved over on the Fly Mountain mobile for now. He's trying to build a shop. He approached me last week ago, gave me his information. I've got it at the office, but he'll come out and work on stuff. Would you like?
Stole the JNF guys.
Okay.
Like, if you guys want to change mechanics, that's a conversation you guys can have. But
no,
I don't have any problem with those guys, really.
Okay.
They just got to schedule it. They came out and crawled all over them to get all the information they needed.
Okay.
So
if you're getting,
it's just going to be expensive. If we're going to do it, we got to get them out to do both of them at the same time or not, you know.
Right.
Other than that, I have a file of people that think they want to be a part of the agency. So it's that time of year.
How many? 10? Five.
Five doesn't mean six. Eight. And I don't know that they're all going to be able to make Saturday, so we'll know.
Okay.
But I'm going to start bringing people on.
How much can we afford to bring on and correctly outfit?
Well, that's another conversation. I actually have, I will, this winter we'll be buying new PPE for Wildland. So I applied for a volunteer fire capacity grant through OBF last year, and we got it. It is for $10,000. But it's a 50% match grant. So we're on the hook for half of whatever we buy. Initially, I wanted to replace hose reels on the heavy Wildland truck, but we were able to fix them in-house. So we don't need new hose reels. And I want to move that equated to about $5,000 of that grant, roughly. And so I'm just going to pivot that money to PB for Wildland and get that rolling. We'll get whatever we spend, we'll get matched by this grant. As far as bunker gear goes, we have bunker gear, all of our bunker gear is outdated. So I'm looking for grants to I need a grant for two different things. Actually, I was just talking to Cameron this morning about it. All of our ducks in a row are in a row to have our breathing apparatus back on all the trucks. So the hangup we have there is that whenever we use them, which is fairly often in training even, or, you know, car fires and things like that, we don't have a fill station. So in years past, Chiloquin would fill them, depending on the crew members that are trying to fill the tanks up. That's a little problematic these days. The last time they got filled with District 4, Stuart Lennox. It's about 25 grand for a fill station, for a small fill station for two bottles. We only own 8 bottles. It's not the end of the world, you know, but we don't have the ability to fill our own tanks, which is from. I'm looking for a grant for that. I haven't searched the state for somebody to donate one, but they're just not. By the time they're ready to replace it, the one that is going out isn't serviceable anymore. That's what it seems like. So that's going to be about 25 grand. And then we need to find a grant for new bunker gear. Outfitting a single firefighter runs about $5,000 ish.
Did the whole county get the last grant? And that's where our bunker gear came from. So everybody is going out. I thought that
yeah, the last time the whole county got SCBAs.
Oh, okay.
And that's where we have 4 SCBA packs and 8 bottles. But we have hand-me-down gear for years now. So I got to find a, you know, and in reality, we probably have 15 or 16 people on the roster right now, but I really only need bunker gear for about 8 of them, to be honest. Unless a whole group of these guys live local and want to, you know, that's a different story. But at the moment, so I have gear to put people in, I guess, is the moral of the story. And by the time we roll around to fire season again, we will have bought new wildland gear to outfit some of our returning guys and some new folks. So, and that's also stupid expensive. Pants and shirt for a single wildland firefighter would be $700, pretty easy. So,
we have to.
Other than that, that's all I got. Unless you guys have questions, I don't really have much else this month.
The seismic upgrade grant, did the, when the county did the survey, did they kind of give you any feeling of what they're looking at?
No, they sent a lackey that just came out and set up a tripod. And then we moved the trucks out, set up a tripod and took 3D digital pictures and bounced.
Okay.
So I think they take the images, they compile that with our ownership information that I just submitted and our letters of support. And they send all of that to whoever makes the decision. And then once the decision is made and we are green lit, then they take their 3D images and they start to design what they can and can't do for us. So I don't think we'll know a whole lot until we know if we got accepted or not. Unless they find some information in which
I just sent a check to them too for just a little over 1,000.
So that
1,080.
So that is basically our $4,000
exactly
that they asked for originally.
It's originally 4.6.
It's 9.
Oh.
We are actually on the hook for 4.
Okay.
They pulled the other 5 out of the grant when we get
the grant.
Okay. So it was literally $4,000 for a chance at a pretty good chance at $2.5 million. Safe bet, especially since it's not one and done. It's every year they submit until we get.
Okay.
And the grant is built for us, really. Like, there should be no reason why they're
here. Exactly.
I don't know what they'll do exactly.
They can't expand the footprint, though.
No, we can't expand the footprint. We can't go up. We can build the building in such a manner that we can get taller doors in there, though. And that's really the hang up to getting any kind of fire. I mean, our heavy wildland is a 1988 F800, and it's a first out apparatus for us. And it's only a matter of time. That old girl needs to be replaced. And don't get me wrong, like, it's a tough truck. I'll take it anywhere. literally. But she's had her day, you know.
We've had her.
So. That's all I got.
Any other questions for Chief?
No, thanks, Chief. Yep. Good reports.
Thank you. You want to put this on the agenda?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, any updates, Mike? Do you have anything on that group that was going to work on private advertising for ambulance funding?
As a matter of fact, I do. I mean, my computer fired up here.
Thank you, sir.
So my wife and I went to Bly Mountain meeting and met with their board to let them know that we were going to be doing some fundraising in their district, just out of courtesy, and asked them very politely, do you guys have any suggestions? And so they came up with some suggestions to help us out. If we decide to do a meal or something like that, they're willing to help out, do that in their district, whatever. If we decide we want to do a mailing thing, they've offered funding for stamps, printing, whatever. They've offered to help out to offset the cost on that. So that's the only district I've been to so far. I haven't found out when Bonanza's proper district is, but they were very supportive of us.
When we took over the ambulance from Bonanza, there were, I kid you not, no less than fist fights on scene between the ambulance crew and that crew right there.
District 5?
District 5.
Okay.
And also Bonanza Fire. And the operations officer for the ambulance was a member of Bonanza Fire, for that matter. So when we took over, the very first time I rolled into the District 5 fire station in that Bonanza ambulance when it was still green, I got met with very unfriendly Daryl St. Mikey. I don't know if you know Mikey.
Yep, I met Mikey.
Daryl St. Mikey's charging out to that truck. I wanted to know what the hell we were even doing there. And it was Dawn and I, and we hopped out to let him know that we had taken over the ambulance. And there had been decades of bad blood and animosity between that private ambulance service and all of the fire districts that they serviced. And so since then, which was February of 23, we have really tried and bent over backwards to change those views. And then last August, when things weren't going well and the transition happened, that was a very ugly board meeting with those guys. Had things to say that were very unfriendly to the board on the way out and inappropriate. And one of the captains, as a matter of fact, District 5, sat at a football game and told my 14-year-old daughter that District 3 could just piss up a rope because they're not coming to help us at all. And we have chugged ourselves with a smile out of that abyss with that group of folks since then. And it was like a month ago that Chief Longoria pulled me off to the side at on a scene and said, I know a lot of things were said and there was some bad blood. I just want you to know that's all in the past. Oh, so
well, congratulations.
That is a big deal for that group right there. I'm just saying, like, that's no joke for that particular group to be like, how can we help?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
so that's huge.
Yeah, it's they were very forthcoming, very welcoming to Kate and myself, and I took Kate because she knows them all. Anyway, they were very good, and they came up with some suggestions.
Well, Mike, everybody would rather talk to Kate than you.
That's what I'm about saying. So they came up with some suggestions. Their board president, Eric Goritz, is going to be emailing me some letters to write to our congressman, our state congressman, to try to get some funding, to try to get the state to break loose some money for us, for this ambulance. I haven't seen him yet, but we left that meeting at 8 o'clock, 8:30 at night. Got home 6 o'clock next morning. I had an email from him.
Cool.
So he's on. And he works for the hospital, does something administrative at the hospital. I don't know. He told me.
Very good relations in Bly. So I would imagine you get a similar response from Bly.
I'm assuming so, too. Because
and Bonanza is happy with us. I mean, they're letting us park the ambulance there during the week. So.
So anyway, that's where that stands. That's what I've been working on.
Cool.
So I did make some phone calls to the place where we got that trifold pamphlet. I called their ambulance, the head of their ambulance chief, to try to get a copy of that deal sent to me. He's very interested in what we're doing. He's got some great suggestions, got some great, I mean, it's many states away, so it doesn't really, a lot of it doesn't apply to us.
Everybody nationwide is facing the same challenges, though, especially in a rural setting. It's not, we're not unique here in Oregon.
Agreed. But anyway, their first attempt with the mailers brought them back $22,000, their first attempt. And so he called me back a couple days later, and he said, hey, I want you to know I looked up the districts that you told me to look up. I guess they can do that, whatever. And he goes, you guys are huge. For one ambulance, you guys have one ambulance for that? And I said, yeah,
you know we're huge. The problem is we don't have a lot of people that live in that area.
And he told, and I said, I told him, I said, look, I said, half these places don't have addresses.
Right.
I said, they are GPS locations.
Yeah.
And he goes, man, you have got one hell of a tough road in front of you. Well, how can I help? So if they're willing to help out, this twin ambulances, whatever, they're willing to help out with suggestions and whatever.
We need a backup ambulance.
What's the latest from that? California, have you heard anything from?
You want to go to Michigan to get it?
We just need, we have a fire apparatus from Pennsylvania next door. So, we need a secondary ambulance. Just wherever we get it from. The guy in California, they got a couple that are still serviceable. I emailed back and forth with him a couple times, but they don't have one ready for us to come pick up. So, Bonanza had a mailer, a subscription mailer. They gleaned between $3,000 and $4,000 a year from that. And so we guesstimated that we might be able to increase that by 20% or so. But in our 1,500 square miles, there's only a certain number of households. And just Bonanza's numbers was between $3,000 and $4,000 a year that they got from that. So, we were going to go with FireMed, and that's still the legit one, but they have some kind of internal issue going on, and we've been trying since, September of 24, before that actually, to get on, and for whatever reason, we can't. They fired the lady that was the head of it, this Crystal Martinez lady, and then put her husband in charge of it as the interim guy that was gonna do it until they found somebody. And so, I mean, that's one particular topic. If you talk to Cameron about it, she'd beat her head against the wall on that, on the FireMed issue. And I think
the FireMed though was only about $7,000 success.
It's the same. It's the number of people that we're gonna get able to sign up for it, and the. How much are we going to charge? It seemed like the cheapest in the state is around $50. And the most expensive is actually Chilliwack's, $99. But the average was like $65. So I don't know the answer to that particular. So if we want to, throw FireMed out the window and do an in-house subscription, then that's a conversation for you guys to have. And I could probably get a hold of, I know I could get a hold of her. I could get a hold of the old treasurer and biller for Bonanza and get some numbers from her. I'm sure they might even have a email mailer Because it's the same district. It's the same.
Same addresses and stuff.
It's the same base.
Yeah.
You know?
But Bly Mountain's changed. They've had some new people move in, whatever. Banana Bly has as well. You know, so I think we need to reach out to these other districts and get them to help us with this ambulance front. You know? So that's what I'm trying to do.
That is.
So kudos to you for and your crews for winning over the Bly Mountain guys. They were, like I said, very cordial, very friendly. And
We got good.
yeah, it's they're really good. They were stepping right up to help. Even Mikey.
No, Mikey's all right.
Had a hell of a time remember his name.
Yeah, exactly.
Ambulance advisor committee meeting is next month on the 3rd.
It's the first Wednesday.
Are you going?
I always do.
What time is it?
Why do you ask?
I'm gonna go with you.
Oh, good Lord, I'm not coming.
You gotta even drive.
Dinner's at 5:30 and the meeting starts at 6. I'm trying to remember where the next one is. The last one was in Chemul. I'm not. I'd have to look. I'll get an email about it though.
Okay, let me know. So it's an evening meeting.
Yes.
It's
absolutely delightful too. You'll love
really simple.
can send an agenda to them in advance.
Yeah, but it doesn't say anything. You know, it's not as detailed as this at all. I don't think they regularly know what they're going to talk about. You listen to them, to manager pontificate a little bit.
Is that Ian Sigpen or whatever his name is?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I conversed with him as I let you know, and that's still nowhere.
No, exactly like I told you. I don't know what he exactly said to you, but he cannot do what I want him to do and what Chief Stacy wants him to do until he appeases the Oregon Health Authority with his ambulance service plan. It has been rejected twice. It's a 100-page document. The last time it got rejected, they rejected it with 16 pages of corrections that they want. Okay. He has to get them happy. Then, once that plan is approved by the state, then he can go to the county commissioners and say, "Hey, these two chiefs over here want to rearrange ASA lines, and I got the state to approve it along with all these other things." Because it's not just what we want to do. Klamath County has been out of compliance with the Oregon Health Authority for like 10 years, for real, when it comes to ambulance service areas. They've been operating like willy-nilly Wild West and not reporting properly to the state, and the state's had enough. So it's a stalemate until he gets his report done in a manner that they will accept. And then it's already Chief Stacy wants to get rid of it, and I want to take it. But it is literally hinging on this ambulance service plan, the whole county ambulance service plan that has to get fixed by Thigpen. And that, I guarantee, will be a topic of conversation at the ambulance advisory committee. So,
Okay.
that'll be good.
but he is definitely like Mr. Oh yeah, I got that covered. Don't you worry about it. Blah 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 blah. But he does have it covered. That's the problem. That's why everybody gets frustrated with
Okay,
everybody.
well that was my first attempt. So
Someday we're covered.
I mean I'm not above writing his phone number on the bathroom wall and getting a whole
This
bunch of
dude
people to call him.
takes over as the Klamath County Emergency Manager. The same CWRR grant that we're trying to come to fruition here, the previous emergency manager, Fowler, applied for not quite $500,000 for I don't know what all he wanted, but he got it. Okay. As I've stated many times, the state does not want this money back. Ian takes over and says, "I'm not doing this, send that money back." And the state's like, so. The Fire Defense Board had to get involved and essentially force the issue on him to, I mean, county commissioners got involved with this to compel him to create a plan that would make the state fire marshal happy so that Klamath County, that doesn't have two nickels to rub together, could get some equipment that we really actually need, since we've already been appropriated this $500,000. So he buys some curtain burners, some hand tools, some chippers, a few agencies that have extra room in bays are hosting these tools. Other agencies like us can check them out, like a library. So I can go to Bly and get a chipper, the big chipper, if I want. I go to Chiliquin and get a curtain burner to use for our fuels mitigation. I mean, it's nice. He says he wants to buy a chainsaw for every agency. So that's awesome. Like, we could use a new chainsaw. He didn't ask anybody what an appropriate chainsaw for fire operations should be. So he went out and bought 17 farm bosses. So that is who we're talking about here.
Okay, who does he work for?
County commissioners.
Oh, gotcha.
He's the head guy in charge of emergency management for this county. Sorry, I can't say that with a straight face.
Gotcha.
So he's, I mean, frustrated to say the least. Not just to us, but to everybody.
Go and get it.
So that is, this topic is something I bring up every ambulance advisory committee, every single one, and will be brought up again if he doesn't bring it up, because sometimes he gets to talk before I do, and he tells everybody his tail low about how terrible the state is if they won't accept this report.
Okay.
But thank you.
You told me who to call. I already sound
like, yeah, I
got
it's time. Kind of remarkable, because even the president of the ambulance advisory committee is Bonnie Overcash, and she is the trauma system registrar at Sky Lakes, and she also works for Basin Ambulance and has for years. She also sits the Oregon Ambulance Association, and they meet once a year, and the rest of the state, like on that side of the hill, has no fathoming of how things operate on this side of the hill. It's completely foreign. They think every ambulance is staffed with two paramedics everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then you tell them, nah, we got a basic EMT and a qualified driver who knows how to do CPR, because we're out in the toolies and nobody will come do this job. And so the ambulance, the Oregon Ambulance Association, is like hyper-focused on problems that are city agency problems. Mm-hmm. And they don't even think about us out here. So
I totally get it. Everything in medical is that way. Everything in medical is that way. So our state representatives don't even know we exist out here.
Yeah.
So
like if we were struggling in Roseburg and our ambulance went belly up, somebody like AMR is going to come in and say, "Rock, we got you."
Yeah.
We're going to put in 5 stations, and we're going to have private ambulances on every street corner, and that's what happened in Grants Pass. We're at 549 calls total for the year. We'll probably get another close to 60 or so, maybe half of those on medical transports. That is not enough for a company like AMR to even think about coming into an area like this.
Okay.
So they are all about making money. That's, if it doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make sense, they're not coming. So,
yeah. Okay. AMR, Ray Guy Girl Station, with, they did 9.7 calls a day or something.
Yeah. Because just like I've said many times, it doesn't matter if you're a private ambulance service or fire based ambulance service, keeping your head above water, everything comes down to the call volume. You can be as frugal as you want. If the call volume's not there, you're not going to make it. So,
anything else?
No, I think I've taken up enough of everybody's time.
Thanks.
That was me doing that.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, Cindy's like staring daggers at me. I mean, she's got stuff to do.
No, I'm listening.
So, Sarah's not here to report on the AAU. Next on the agenda is the line of credit.
Do we know when that needs to be taken care of?
What's that?
Yeah, it has to be taken care of by the first of the year, but we're obviously not going to make that. And
What else can take care of?
With the
why wouldn't we make it?
I don't think we've even got an appointment scheduled so far.
And Sarah was working on that last night.
Okay.
I will follow.
Last month, I know she was concerned about a bunch of information that we don't have, but it was my understanding that
we didn't have to have.
We didn't have to have. Yes. So yes.
She was working for okay. that point.
So she probably is.
She's made.
Have you guys talked to her since then?
Oh, I've talked to her since then, but not on the AUP.
Okay.
I do. You
see, nobody's asked me for any information. So.
She got the information from you on some of the equipment she needed to add into the program.
Okay.
Line of credit, firefighters, bank has all the information. I had an email from them yesterday, but they're still working on creating all the documents and files and forms and accounts. They're going to need a deposit sitting in savings, I think just $1,000. But other than that, it's going forward in there, but they still haven't finalized their end of all of the process. The first time I sent our bylaws, they didn't get them. I don't know if it was the email format or whatever, but they did get it. And they also have the agenda for our last meeting, since we don't have written minutes, and they have the resolution by the board to accept the bylaws. So that's where we're at with that. Legal counsel, I was waiting for tax monies coming in this year before we start looking at that. I have to review the budget for this coming year. I don't remember if we put a line item in there for a legal counsel representative. At some point in time, I'm going to need between $6,000 and $10,000, and it's going to be an annual expense for that purpose.
Not I heard District 3 got lots of money.
Yeah, yeah.
Give me a second. I don't think it was $10,000, but I do think there was money.
Yeah, I was thinking it was on the budget line that there was some money.
Like about five or something?
Maybe around five.
I thought it was six, but I'm not.
That's sure. Kind of what I was thinking. Maybe. It was six, but.
So we're kind of within that. Well, not really.
I have the list of people that Dave Matthews was working on, but we postponed everything until we had tax month and the new budget.
I mean, I could get home. I can look at the budget.
I have it out.
Oh, okay.
We'll have a folder
somewhere. I just had to send it. Where did I send that from?
Google Docs. Is it in Google Docs?
Should be.
Should be. I got it here. It's hurt. What's the LB30 is the expenses? Is that right? Or the 20?
So, yeah.
Cell phone booths. Legal fees.
Yeah.
That ain't enough. Legal fees, $2,500.
Okay. I'll make a phone call, see where people are. We will bring them back to the room.
We need a pro bono lawyer.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know any more that we have living in the district.
Why does he have to live in the district? Maybe he just needs to get sweet talk. So.
Well, I'm not going to sweet talk.
The same.
Can owning property in the district qualify?
What's that?
I said, can owning property in the district
qualify? I don't know why a legal counsel would need to live in our district.
No, but for pro bono, I would guess that they want to be lawful. But I will make phone calls. There was, I think, a short list of three names Dave had on the list. Any new business?
SDAO. There's nothing through SDAO for that.
David referred Dave a list of three names.
Oh, that's what happened. That
yeah. Came from. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Got it.
So
I will pull that and start making contacts, and then we'll come back with the ball and some tough stuff.
Can I go on a turn here for a minute?
Yes.
So after the meeting, if I get the board to stick around for a minute, SDAO's got some trainings and stuff that we can take to help lower our insurance stuff. And
yes,
and we'll discuss it after the meeting. So
I thought we did that at the beginning of the term. Is it some new list coming up?
No, there's just some guys that I got numbers for or got recommended.
And some of those are supposed to happen every year.
Yeah.
What's that?
I think those are supposed to happen every year.
Yeah, and then there's
the training, the board trainings.
The board training in Sun River.
I haven't seen the. There's board trainings and Vector Solutions too. There's all kinds of training that's conducted.
Well, I know some of us are wandering around and sort of lost, so any training we can get would be helpful.
Okay, I'll get back onto SDAO and send out a list of available classes coming up to the board. Anything for the good of the order?
The only other thing I wanted to talk about that I forgot earlier is incoming tax number. The ACH never got fixed to change it out of, so that's why the EMS account is so just right. It's tax number that.
And it's just for Klamath County, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
We are going to have to fix the ACH regardless to move it to another account. We didn't want to do it. I didn't realize it hadn't gotten done until the end of last month, and then we didn't want to do it and screw up our tax money coming in. So it has to be done. It's my understanding the ACH transfer issue from LGIP has been remedied, and I would say that our tax money should go into that LGIP account when it comes in every year, and we pull it out as needed. It is a high interest savings account. It is the whole reason that we opened that stupid account. And if you get into it, that you can separate all that money out. So if we got another big lump sum of grant money, you could go directly into there and be in a sub account inside that LGIP account. Super easy to track. And it's like 5.9% or something. Ridiculous thing. So that way we won't have convoluted bank account numbers like we had this morning.
Yeah.
So I just put that out there. You guys figure it out. But that's my 2 cents on that. I would wait. Till the bulk of the tax money comes in, because we get a bunch of money in November and then a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit till like March. So. But I would definitely suggest that that is where that money goes, is the LGIP account.
That's a good idea.
And you're just, and that's just strictly for the Klamath County taxes that are coming in, or, you know, because we talked the other day and you said those need to be transferred.
Mm-hmm.
Klamath County only.
Well, everything else is ambulance income.
Okay.
Unless it says Klamath County tax ACH, everything else is ambulance income.
Okay. All right. I just want to make that clear.
Because we get some that say treasury, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's ambulance payments. Tax money comes in as, I believe it says Klamath County tax ACH.
It does. It does.
Those are what has to be transferred out.
Okay. So we're looking at, last I checked, it was about 18,000.
It has to be way more than that.
It's going to be, yeah.
Well, you said that the bank account has 50 grand, $51,000. So it's got to be more than 18,000 in it for the math.
Well,
that's just.
I checked it. That was last
basic year. Basic deduction. We haven't taken that much ambulance, and then we're taking in some couple good VA payments. The issue at the federal level with Medicare, Medicaid, it still kind of has us up in the air. Yeah, here's one transfer for almost 30,000. 29,000 from Klamath County ACH.
Okay, so that's just recent. I didn't. That's recent.
That'd be tough.
I have
the budget to open the government is just a continuing resolution until the end of January with no real decisions on Medicare, Medicaid. So it kind of keeps us still up in the air. And I don't know if that releases Medicaid payments that we are not still currently not receiving. So if they dramatically change the expanded Affordable Care Act, we might be out of business. Because a whole bunch of our folks are Oregon plan folks, like most of them. So if those folks lose their insurance, we're not going to be able to keep the same ambulance on the road.
Right.
And that, I don't see any way around that. Turkey dinners, subscription, so none of that is going to happen. Like the country as a whole, the state is going to have to figure some things out.
Yeah.
If that's the case.
Is there a way to bill homeowners insurance or
insurance? Not for emergency medical transport.
Really?
Vehicle insurance for car accidents, sure.
Are we pursuing that?
It's not my department, brother. That's why we pay a third-party biller.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yes.
Are they pursuing?
How many automobile accident transports do we do percentage-wise?
Less than 10%.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's small.
Blake Tactical is pretty good. Blake Tactical is pretty good. They bill insurance. They bill automobile insurance. They bill private individuals. If you say I'm not paying that bill, they send you to their in-house collections. Like,
okay,
we're getting our money from them.
There's a reason we use them.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're pretty good. It's the insurance that doesn't want to pay.
Got you. It's insurance companies.
Great. Anything else for the good of the order? Take a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
All in favor? Cindy?
Aye.
Mike?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Carrie, say aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.
Oh, that was live.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. How we suck.